Larry Wise. I'm from Randolph, Mississippi. Y'all never heard of Randolph, Mississippi, and there's a good reason. We just got a grocery store, and that's about it. But anyway, we hail about 13 miles from Pontotoc, Mississippi. Tupelo's the largest city in our area, and we have been delighted to be here with you in this meeting. Son and I, we thankful the Lord blessed us yesterday, and we enjoyed it so much hearing these ministers preach the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we rejoiced. And the singing was wonderful this morning, and the Spirit was there, and you know, I feel like preaching, whether I do or not. So
we pray you do, brother.
Pray that the Lord would give us liberty and strength to speak the things that would become sound doctrine, as he tells us in the book of Titus. Not the things that we speak are going to become sound because I speak them, but they might adorn the doctrine that's already sound from the Word of God. That thus saith the Word of the Lord. I trust you're hungry this morning. You've already had breakfast. I'm talking about the spiritual things of God. Because if you're hungry, why, that's who I like to preach to.
Amen.
Because it don't take a whole lot of preaching to hungry folks, you know. Just a little crumb will satisfy. If you're hungry, you know, the Canaanite woman said, but even the dogs eat of the crumbs for fall from the master's table.
Amen.
So when you're hungry, that crumb tastes real good.
Yes, sir.
And a good cold water in a hot day. As he tells us in the book of Proverbs, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country.
Yeah,
and certainly we've had that here during this meeting. The Lord willing, this morning I want to turn to a familiar passage of Scripture found in God's Word in the Old Testament. In the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes in verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." I trust we might be able to do that this morning. Solomon writes, says, "Remember now thy Creator." You know, right now in this service is now with us. He said, "Remember now." You know, yesterday is gone. I trust we remembered him then. Tomorrow's not here. And we may not see tomorrow. But he says, "Remember now thy Creator." We don't have to worry about the Lord remembering us, because he tells us in the 49th chapter of Isaiah and 15, "Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" And sadly, you read about that.
Right.
The depravity of the human nature. "Can a woman forget the sucking child? She not have compassion on the son of her womb. Yea, they may forget. Yet I will not forget thee,"
Amen.
Saith the Lord.
Right.
Thank the Lord remembers. Praise the Lord that he remembers a worm like I and you and every other child of God. "Because thine are graven on palms of mine hands." No possibility that he would forget. But us, mere creatures of his handiwork. He's the Creator. But oftentimes we're prone to not remember our Creator. The one who has created us. The one who created all things. And created us and you in Christ Jesus the Lord. You know, Isaiah 40 and 28 says, "Know ye not that the Lord, he is God, the Creator of the ends of the earth." What? It just seemed like he's astonished. "What, know ye not that he is the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, that fainteth not, neither is weary, and there's no searching of his understanding?" So he knows, as Brother Dickey, I can't pronounce his last name. I'm sorry. I'm not going to try. But anyway, preached about the Lord is acquainted with the feelings of our infirmities.
Yes, sir.
"Fainteth not, neither is weary, but he is no searching of his understanding. Who known the mind of the Lord, or been his counselor, had taught him?" He's taught us much, but we can't make Him acquainted with anything. He knows it all. He knows our hearts this morning. He knows our needs. He knows everything about us. The hairs of our head are numbered, the Scripture says. And you know, I ain't got as many as I used to. It's getting pretty thin on top, but the Lord knew every single one of them. He says the hairs of your head are all numbered. And then He says not a hair of your head shall perish. See how secure that is in the hands of God, thy Creator. 1 Peter 4:19, He says those that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator.
Right.
Commit the keeping of your souls. No wonder Paul was persuaded in the book of Timothy. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day.
Yes.
He is fully persuaded of that. I trust that you're fully persuaded of that this morning, that He is able. And you know, as we pray for those who are on the sick list and some at the point of death, and that if God doesn't see fit to spare them and heal them in this life, but yet that doesn't diminish the fact that He is able. As He tells us in the 5th chapter of Hebrews and 7, this is describing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who in the days of His flesh, and with strong crying and tears, unto Him who was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. That was our Lord in tears saying He was praying to Him who is able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. As how? As a man, as in his human representing us. And the Bible says, though He were a son, the next verse, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered.
Yes.
As a man, He learned obedience. He knew what He was going to go through, but yet He learned it as a man.
Yeah.
He had not been a man yet, but He learned it as a man by the things which He suffered. And we do the same way. He is our example. Here's our Creator. Well, you said that's Jesus. He the Creator? Yes, He is.
Yeah.
God's the Creator. Jesus is the Creator. The Holy Spirit is the Creator.
That's right.
That's the Godhead. He tells us over in the book of Colossians 15, who is the image of the invisible God, and by Him were all things created, and by Him all things consist.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's not all things without exception. That's all good things. He doesn't create evil.
Amen.
Sin. Now, He does create evil. I'm not going into that. He says, but He doesn't create that which is bad. God is not the author of sin. He is our Creator. And He says, remember this Creator in the days of thy youth.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see these many young people here in our congregation today. And I trust that more of our congregations would be filled with those who have a zeal for the Lord.
Yes,
and that they might remember the Creator in the days of thy youth when you're vibrant and able to serve the Lord. And I've said on many occasions that I believe the Lord touches the majority of His children in their youth, in their younger years, so that they might remember that Creator. While these evil days draw not nigh. But what is the youth by nature? Well, let's go to about as young as you can get. In Psalms 51 and 5, David says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So here he was conceived in sin, wasn't he?
Right.
No sin involved in his parents, but he was conceived in sin. He had that nature inherent in his parents. I was shapen in iniquity. And I want you to notice also that when he wrote that he was a I when he was conceived, and he was a me when he was conceived, which tells us he was an individual. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So that's inherited his nature. Psalms 58:3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Now, do they audibly speak lies? No. They can't talk. I got a 10-month-old grandson today. He's 10 months old. And he can't speak a word, but he's told a lie on a few occasions. He said, they go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies, and inherit in our nature, our youth. Remember in Genesis 8 and 21, this is after the flood, and Noah builds an altar to the Lord, and he sacrifices of every clean beast and fowl of the air. And he said, the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And he says, I will no more again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imaginations and thoughts of his heart is only evil continually from his youth.
Right, right.
And remember, there wasn't no young persons there.
That's right.
At that time, we just had the eight, didn't we?
Right.
We had Noah and his wife, and Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, and their wife. But he's only evil from his youth. So the Lord just started all over again from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But what? It didn't change sin, did it? It was still inherent in everyone that was conceived from there on.
That's right.
And then, of course, the Lord must do something to those individuals that are his by choice, his by price, and that is that he must touch them with his spirit. The Bible, when does that happen? Well, it's just like David said yesterday. He didn't know what the timing of the Lord. It's when he sovereignly chooses to place his spirit within. And when it's when it pleases God. The Bible tells us over in Luke 1 and 41 about John the Baptist, and the Lord touched him when he was in his womb. Of his mother. Yeah. In the womb of his mother.
Right.
And he was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Scripture said.
Yeah.
Well, if a person is filled with the Holy Ghost, he's got to be born of the Holy Spirit of God.
Right. Yeah. Right.
He was filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Right. And he leaped for joy.
That's right. Yeah.
At least that's what it says in my book.
Yeah.
It says in Galatians 5 and 22, for the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy.
Yeah.
This is spiritual joy.
Yeah.
But yet he didn't know who the Savior was at that time. And he was one of the greatest men in the Bible. But yet he had doubts, as you know, the Scripture said later on.
That's right.
So he said, God created him and you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Right.
Well, he hadn't been born, but he needed to be created anew, didn't he? Because he was shapen in iniquity and steeped in sin.
Right.
And the Lord touched him. David, in a similar situation, he tells us over here in the book of Psalms, chapter 25. He says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies. Remember thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Well, how old? Well, the Lord's merciful. He's from everlasting to everlasting, Scripture says. And he says, remember not the sins of my youth. I pray God he wouldn't remember the sins of my youth. And not only that, but the sins of my old age. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to thy tender mercies. For remember thou me. For what purpose? For thy goodness' sake.
Amen.
Remember me for thy goodness' sake. For Christ's sake.
Right.
No wonder he tells us in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Amen.
Why? Not for your sake, but for Christ's sake. Children of God, for His sake, for His redemption, for His shed blood, for His sake. And now he says, you be kind. Tender heart. And he says, for thy goodness sake, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Teach sinners in the way, in his way. And you know, he teaches every child of God that he's a sinner. How does he do that? Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 says, as touching brotherly love, you need not that I should write unto you, but you're taught of God to love one another.
That's right.
John 6:45 says, as written in the prophets, they'll be all taught of God, and everyone that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. They're taught of God. And when Saul of Tarsus was taught of God, he said in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, Christ came in this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Right.
Well, he still got a lot of chiefs. He was, I've been one of chief of sinners. He came to save sinners, children of God. And of course, there are those that would that say that the infant is not a sinner. Well, children of God, if that's the case, the one that dies in infancy can't go to heaven. Why? Jesus came to save sinners.
Yes, sir. That's right.
But if he's not a sinner, Jesus didn't come to save him. He's a sinner. And we sin because we're sinners. We don't sin in order to become sinners.
Right.
You know, that's, I guess the old Baptist is the one that don't get upset when you call him a sinner. He said, cry aloud, spare not, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Show them their sins. Well, though what? They might repent of them and turn to the true and living God. And only a child of God is going to do that. So he tells us here, remember not the sins of my youth. He tells us in Psalms 71. I like the 16th verse. I've tried to make that my motto as I go and preach the Word of God. He said, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. And Brother Dickey spoke about the righteousness yesterday. I'll make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only, because I sure ain't got nothing to recommend to you today. But the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a different story. And then he tells us in this same psalm, verse 5, for thou art my hope. Thou art my hope. O Lord, thou art my trust from my youth. He was a trusting from his youth. What does that tell you? You're not going to trust in the Lord unless what? You've been created. Remember the Creator. He has touched him in the youth. Thou art my hope from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took out of my mother's womb, my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually before thee. My praise will be continually before thee. You have took me out of my mother's womb. You're my hope and my trust from my youth. And then he gives a contrast later on in this chapter. And verse 9 says, cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. Our strength fails from a natural standpoint. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Well, we know the strength of the Lord never fails. He's never been a failure in anything. And then he comes down in the 18th verse and says, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Oh, David said, I was young and now I'm old, but I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Right.
And certainly the Lord was not him. He says, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength to this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. He had received that strength and he wanted to show that power to everyone that is
That's
to come.
Right.
We remember over in 1 Samuel 17 and 33, and Brother Ronald spoke about David last night, preaching so wonderfully about him. But here he comes, and he volunteers to go and fight this giant. And yet Saul looks at him and said, you can't go up against this Philistine, because he said, you are just a youth. And this man has been a man of war from his youth. In other words, giving him no chance against this. He's a man of war from his youth, and you're just a youth going up against what did David say? He said, a lion came and a bear came and took the lamb that I was in charge of.
Right.
And he said, I went and I took it out of his mouth. And then when he arose up against me, I took him by the beard and slew him. God that delivered me from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion shall deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine.
Right.
For he defies the armies of the living God.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Who is it?
That's right.
Don't mess with God.
Amen.
Don't mess with, he says, defies the armies of the living God. And he knew that the Lord would deliver him. See, he had an experience. He knew that the Lord had delivered him, and the Lord delivered him of a past, certainly as a now God, and he could deliver him from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine.
Right, right.
He is just a man from his youth. But children of God, the Lord can use the youth. He would have been created, did he not? Was he not? And then he, of course, you know the story of how the Lord dealt with him and how he dealt with the giant. And we read the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, chapter 39. And how you know that he started out just as a teenager, 17 years of age, when his brethren began to persecute him and to cast him into the pit, and how they sold him into slavery. Children of God, you teenagers had it pretty good because of what Joseph had back in Genesis chapter 39.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, the Lord was with him.
Yeah.
The Lord was with him. As a young man, he was raised up to be in charge of Potiphar's house. He had bought him from the Ishmaelites. And the Lord blessed him to be in charge of all that was in Potiphar's house. But as a young man, he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, who day by day said, come and lie with me. And he said, how can I do this great wickedness against God?
Right.
See,
right.
It was a sin against God.
That's right.
How can I do this great wickedness against God as a young man? And then 2 Timothy 2:22, he says, flee also youthful lust.
Yeah.
Flee youthful lusts, but follow righteousness and peace and charity with those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Right.
You see, most would teach you got to call on the Lord and the Lord will purify that heart. But he said, call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
That's right.
A heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17:9 said, but we're talking about a pure heart. And Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Yeah.
Flee youthful lusts. But then what? Follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So, Joseph wasn't a coward. He got out of there. Run. Sometimes that's what we need. Just get out of there.
Amen.
Don't think you're strong enough to withstand
right.
this temptation that's before you. Run, flee from these youthful lusts. And flee to who?
Yes.
To the author and finisher of your faith.
Yeah.
Flee for refuge.
Right.
And lay hold upon the hope set
yes.
before you. Flee this rock of our salvation that Brother Chase spoke about there in the book of Psalms. So he tells us here, here's our youth. We read about Josiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Here's a man that came to the throne when he was on eight years of age. How would you like to have a president that is 8 years old? He could probably do a better job than one we got now. He says he came to the throne when he was 8 years of age. And in the eighth year of his reign, the Bible says he began to seek after God,
yeah.
as did David his father,
right.
and did those things that was right in the sight of God.
Wow.
And in the 12th year of his reign, the scripture tells us that he began to tear down all the high places and the groves and the altars of Balaam and cleanse Judah and Jerusalem from all these molten images and they were serving rather than the Creator.
Right.
So he did all that as a young man. And the Lord took recognition of that, children of God. He was blessed. And then he is instituted the Passover. Later on, in the next chapter, a Passover such as was not like it, the Scripture says. But you know, the Lord was merciful unto him. There was going to be a evil come upon them. In other words, judgment. And he said, because you have humbled yourself and your heart was tender, because when the word of God was found in the house of God, he wanted to repair the house of God, and they found the book of the law, and when it was read in his presence, he rent his clothes, and then when he read it himself, well, he made a covenant with the Lord, and he done all those things to please God. The Lord took recognition, and he says, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God, he says, you'll be taken and gathered to your grave in peace, and you'll not see all this evil that's going to come upon this generation.
Right.
Oh, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 57, he says, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth to heart, not considering that the merciful man is taken away from the evil that is to come. He was not able to see that evil that is to come. So the Lord was even merciful unto him. So you see, he was a young man, wasn't he? On 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible tells us, he says, Paul writing to Timothy, he says, let no man despise thy youth. Now, I don't know how old he was, but he said he was a youth. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers. You mean a youth can be an example? Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
I believe I remember somewhere in the Old Testament, he says, a little child shall lead thee.
Yeah.
Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in faith, and in purity. Don't let no man look down on thy youth. You know, my oldest son, we was down at Macedonia here a couple of years ago, I guess, after he was ordained, and they asked him to preach in the afternoon before Brother David Montgomery, and he went to the book of Revelations, took a text somewhere over there, Lord bless him to preach, and Brother David got up, and he said, well, I'm out here, this young man, and preached, but he says, some people think you got to be ordained 20 years before you take a text out of the book of Revelations. So he said, what? Don't let no man despise thy youth.
Right.
I'm glad for these young ministers the Lord has blessed and raised up, by which I'm privileged to be the father of two, and these others that the Lord is raising up. And we've been trying to pray that the Lord would supply the churches with men that He's called by His grace to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let no man despise thy youth, but just be an example of the believers. Be an example in word, in conversation, in faith, in charity, and in purity. Children of God, that's what we all need to do, is be a good example. He tells us in Acts 20 and 28, he says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. See, I need to take heed to myself first. And then to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. I tell you what, the Lord's purchased us. I'm glad Brother Shea said we belong to the Lord.
Amen.
We belong to the Lord. We belong to Him in a number of ways. But He says, feed that church of God. And He says He purchased it with His own blood. That tells you what the price is, doesn't it? Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days draw not nigh. Over in the book of Psalms again, first of all, I want to go to the 8th chapter of the book of Zechariah. 8th chapter of the book of Zechariah. Toward the latter end of the Old Testament. The Bible tells us here, I could maybe make a stab at quoting this, but I believe I'll just read it. He says in the 8th chapter, verse 3 and 4, he says, thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. It's a city of truth. You know the truth? The truth will make you free. He says, this is a city of truth. Truth is proclaimed in this city. It hath foundations whose Well, that's eternal. Abraham was looking for a city whose foundation was builder and maker was God.
Yeah.
But there's another city here in this world, and it's founded upon the Rock of Ages.
Amen.
And His Word. There's a city of truth. And the mountain of the Lord of hosts, a holy mountain. That last song we sung, the gospel trumpet, Isaiah 2:2. He said, "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain. And many shall go up and say, let us go up to the house of the Lord, to the God of Jacob. And He will teach us of His ways. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." An exalted place. It's a high place. It's an exalted place. It's where the Lord dwells with His people. He walks in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. He tells us over there in the book of Revelation. In the midst of them. Back to this in Zechariah chapter 8. And he says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall be yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for every age." This city of truth, he says, there will be old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem.
Right.
Do you know, God, there's a place for the elderly and there's a place for the young.
Yes, sir.
Children of God. In this city of truth, this city where the Word of God is proclaimed. And then he says, "And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof." Full of boys and
Amen.
Girls. Children of God, some of them leaning on the staff and some crying. Remember over in Matthew 21 and about verse 15, Jesus had just got through cleansing the temple. He had drove out the money changers and those that sold doves and overthrew their tables. I wonder how much the Lord would get rid of if He would come back and enter some of our temples today. He cleansed that. And then they brought the lame and the blind, and He healed all of them.
Right.
And then in that same temple, the chief priests and scribes, they saw all that He did. And then they hear their children crying in the temple. And what are they saying? "Hosanna to the Son of David."
Yes,
and they didn't like it.
No,
they were displeased. And then they asked Jesus, "Hearest thou this? Hosanna to the Son of David." Oh yeah, He heard. And then He said, Have you never read what? That it said out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise.
Yes.
I tell you what, God can cause praise to come out of babes and sucklings.
Right.
He caused praise to come out of a dumb ass one time.
Yeah.
And bless Him to speak. No problem to what? Raise praise out of the mouths of babes and sucklings.
Right.
You know, I was preaching here a month or so ago down home, and I was preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. That's standard subject matter. And He said, "My sheep hear My voice." I said, "We don't go around like natural sheep saying ba, ba, ba." And a little year and a half-year-old boy said, "Ba, ba." Well, we all got a chuckle out of that. And his daddy said, "Well, at least you know He's listening." He said, "And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets." So you got the old and the young playing in the streets. This is a city of truth. Children of God, there's something. Some people say, "Well, y'all just ain't got anything for the young." Well, we got just as much for the young we got for the old.
Amen.
The people that say that don't know what we got at all.
That's right. Amen.
He says, "It's a city of truth." It says it's full of boys and girls playing in the streets.
Amen.
Children of God, this is the place. This is Mount Zion. This is the
Amen.
City of truth. There's a place for the youth. Remember
yes,
the Creator
Amen.
In the days of thy youth, children of God.
Amen.
While the evil days draw not nigh. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't remember the Creator in your middle years or your older years. You remember Him all the time. Over in the book of Psalms again. 92. Psalms 92. The Bible tells us about those that are planted in the house of the Lord. Psalms 92, verse 12. He says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that he planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Here's one that's planted in the house of the Lord. He says they'll flourish in the courts of our Lord.
Right.
And Psalms 84 and 10 says, a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in a house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The Lord is a sun and shield, and no good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly.
Amen.
So if you hadn't got anything good, you might examine your walk.
Right.
As Brother David taught us yesterday about walking in the light of the Lord.
Right.
The courts of the Lord. He says, those that he planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Now, if they shall still bring forth fruit, what does that tell you? They've been bearing fruit for
that's
a long time.
Right. That's right.
They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. My aunt, she's 95 years of age. She still comes to church. She has to hold on a little bit when she comes to church. But I tell you what, she's still bringing forth fruit in old age. She's bearing probably more fruit than some of the younger ones there. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age, flat, fat and flourishing. This is not talking about obesity from a natural standpoint.
Right.
This
right.
is talking about flourishing in the spiritual things of
right.
God. These
right.
fruit that we're told to bear. And in John 15, he says, by this shall all men, he says, to glorify God, is that you bear much fruit. Yes. And then we're going to finish in Psalms 144. Psalms 144. We'll read the last verses of this psalm, Lord willing. Make way for Brother Jeff. Verse 11. He says, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Rid me, deliver me from the hand of these strange children. And what is the characteristics of these strange children? He says, their mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. This is not conducive to the city of truth.
Right.
He said, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. Our sons as plants grown up in their youth. And by the way, over in the 6th chapter of Ephesians and 4, he says, fathers, provoke not your children, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture and admonition of the Lord. Brother Ronald was talking about last night about the wives and children, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Well, it tells us over in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion. Verse 16 says, sanctify the fast, call a solemn assembly, and though gather the elders and those that suck the breast.
Yep.
And let the ministers weep between the porch and the altar, saying, spare thy people,
right.
lest he give
yes.
thy heritage to
yes.
reproach.
Yes.
And here we're all gathered together. You know, the kids are going to hear what the older ones hear. Psalms 144, let's finish this out. That our plants may be grown up in their youth, and our daughters be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. This is something luxurious and glorious.
Amen.
He says that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store for the people of God. That our sheep may be bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. In these streets, this city of truth, bringing forth. And then he finishes out by saying that our oxen may be strong to labor. What's the oxen? This is a ministry. And the Bible says where there is no oxen, the crib is clean.
Yeah, right.
And much increase is by the strength of the ox. that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, and there be no complaining in our streets. Oh, we all complain, don't we? Right. There be no complaining in our streets. Rid me from the hand of these strange children. You see what's going to happen? And then he finishes out by saying this. Happy is that people that is in such a case. I tell you what, this is not a terminal case.
Right.
This is a good case to have.
Right.
The brother said, well, we got a good case. What? We got more preachers here than we can have. Here, this is a good case.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's right.
It'd be good to have a good case. You'd have to add on to this building. Happy is that people that is in such... And the word happy here means you're not going around with a grin on your face all the time. Which we ought to, but... He says this is blessed.
Right. Yep.
Happy is that people that is in such a case. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Who's your God today? Is it the Lord?
Amen.
Or is it some idol or some... You know, football season starting today, and what? That's a god to some folks.
Yeah.
As Brother Winslet said yesterday, why, they start the worship tomorrow over in Alabama. Largest cathedral over there, Bryant Denny Stadium over there, where Alabama plays. He says, happy is that people whose what? God is the Lord.
Right.
Happy is that people. Remember the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days draw not nigh.
Amen.
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 Bless you, brother.
Amen.